welcome back to Dakota Midday Tech Radio for Friday, May 24th. We're coming to you live today from SDN Communications in Sioux Falls. Our 800 number is 1-800-524-3604. That's 800-524-3604. Please drop us an email if you care to. Send it to midday, M-I-D-D-A-Y, at sdpb.org. Today's panelists, Mech Guru Joel Brovelite is here. Hello, Joel.
Hey, how are you?
I am wonderful, sir. Amos Aesop, SDN's sales engineer, is here with us today. Amos?
Hello.
How are things at SDN?
Things are good.
That's fantastic. Well. That's fantastic. NineCloud's bro-founder John T. Meyer is having a little rhinoplasty today, so we wish him and the ill-feeling Jeff Litterick all the best. So
this would be a rhinoplasty due to a softball incident, not vein.
Non-elective. Events. We call that non-elective.
Yes. Although I think it is, isn't it? Because didn't the softball injury happen a while ago, and now they're having to go back and fix it now? And
yeah, I think he just wants to look like Hasselhoff or something.
Well, that's what it is.
Say his doctor recommended it. So
yeah. Well, anyway, the best of luck to the both of those. We're not particularly having a show on rhinoplasty today, but perhaps
could.
They'll 3D print a nose piece for him or something.
You know, it's funny. They are using 3D printing in plastic surgery and in other medical areas. 3D printing is very big in the medical community.
I saw that, too, with the doing the 3D printing of the ears. Children who are born without ears, they can take a mold of one side of the ear, scan it, turn it into the exact replica of the other side so it looks even, and they print it out of, the right materials that are medically necessary. And I think they used to grow them on rats or something. That was the interesting thing a long time ago.
But yeah, I mean, I think they're still exploring all of that. But, you know, I mean, it's interesting how – and, of course, it makes a lot of sense that it would hit medicine pretty early because, you know, they've got the money to spend, frankly. So
well, and there was a baby just – his life was saved. They printed out a tracheal –
yeah,
something or other this week. I mean, there was that between that and the gun news.
We should maybe let everybody know about 3D printing if you don't know what we're talking about. 3D printing is exactly what it sounds like. You have a device that's like a printer for printing out papers or emails or whatever it is you want to print out. But instead of printing out on basically two-dimensional sheets of paper or what have you, you're printing actual touchable three-dimensional objects such as, an ear, like you've mentioned. There's now news about people. There have actually been gun parts available for a while, but an entire gun that you could print out 3D.
The Liberator, I think they call it, or something like that.
All sorts of things can be printed 3D.
And I don't understand this at all.
Oh.
So you're going to...
As far as
I don't
the
get,
technology?
Well... I'm confused not only by the technology. When I saw them print out, they took what are those wrenches called that have the little
crescent wrench?
They took a crescent wrench and they printed that out, and it worked.
Yes,
and I'm like,
that's the amazing thing with 3D printing is it doesn't and you know, as the technology get better goes on, they just get better and better. But instead of printing out a bunch of parts and then assembling them like you might a model. Or like you might on an assembly line, you know, the assembly line creates all sorts of different pieces and then it's assembled at the end. A 3D printer has the ability to print the object completely done. There's no painting because, of course, you can color the material that comes out. You can print it out completely assembled. In the case of the crescent wrench you're talking about, it came out completely assembled, meaning you could adjust the mouth of the wrench to whatever size you want, and it didn't need to be cleaned. It didn't need to be handled by a human or even a robot at the end. It was just assembled, fully formed, and usable right then. It took, I think, that crescent wrench, you know, we're talking about year-old technology, so that's a whole different deal, but I think that took about 10 hours to print, and it was pretty sizable, maybe an 18-inch long crescent wrench.
Yeah.
But that's just getting faster. And what it does is it lays, in that particular instance, it lays down these little dots of adhesive in this kind of large container of material. In this case, it was a polymer. And this adhesive reacts with the polymer and it lays it. It should say it lays it down in layers. So if you can think of the three-dimensional object in, you know, 100 different layers, it would build those layers up in much the same way, you know, the pyramids were built. You know, they'd lay the first layer, they'd lay the second layer, they'd lay the third layer, and all of these little microscopic dots of adhesive basically bind and react with that material and then create sheets of this wrench. And as the next sheet is built on the second one, you know, a few hours later, you've got a wrench or an ear or a nose.
Well, okay, so that completely freaks me out. But the second half of what confuses me greatly is the materials that are used to do this thing, because they're talking about, well, your body parts, but we're talking wrenches, we're talking guns. Some people are saying architecture for building houses could be 3D printed.
Of course.
You know, and food.
Absolutely.
So what is in this magical goo that makes all this stuff possible? Well, are you changing out ink cartridges depending on what you're trying to print?
Well, that's the trick.
Well, the printing of the food, while I can see it being possible, seems a little bit unnecessary, because if you've obviously already got something that's fit for human consumption that is being placed in the device for, you know, creating something, and you're just doing it just for aesthetic purposes.
Yeah, until the technology gets A, cheap enough, and then B, fast enough, which we all know is going to happen.
Sure.
But, it's not one material. It's not, these 3D printers don't have one type of technology, and they also don't have one type of material. So the wrench is not edible. The edible food is not able to, take the lug nut off of a semi. It's all different material, and that's why...
So it isn't a magic vat.
No.
Okay, and so that helps.
Nor will it be. but what I do envision in not that long is you might have a 3D printer at home, and you might tell it, say, okay, I'm going to print a hot dog today, and then I want shoes for my daughter. And it's going to go, okay, well, I'll use this cartridge. I'll use this, and it won't probably be a cartridge. It might be something else. But all these different materials, I've seen 3D printers using metal alloys. I've seen 3D printers using wood particles. I've seen 3D printers using all sorts of polymers and plastics. So there really is no limit with this technology, and it's going to totally change manufacturing in not that long, 5-10 years less. You're already seeing 3D printing work its way into personalized manufacturers. As a matter of fact, Audi, this is amazing stuff. Audi is looking into using 3D printing technology to basically create create the base of a car, you know, the engine, all of the parts that you need to have.
Okay.
And then the user would be able to completely customize, not just I'm going to pick a color and I want two doors or four doors. You're going to say, I want to have bat fins on the back. I want it to be green, and I want it to have 32 speakers all on one side of the car. And I want a little sink over here. And, I want this to be tadpole shaped. You could, and I'm not saying Audi will do that, but that's the type of thing they're working on, is completely customizable vehicles. So we're coming to the point, you know, where when this engages, there's not going to be like, oh, they're driving the same, black Volkswagen I am. Every car you see that passes will be completely different.
So one of the things that's kind of hard to comprehend is how do you print with metal? Obviously, with plastics or any sort of polymers, you heat it up, it melts, it comes out as a goo and solidifies. And actually, with the metal, they're using the powder, which is able to be sprayed out, and then using a acetylene torch at the end, you're able to melt that as it comes out, so you don't have to have a vat of molten lava steel, you know, somewhere in your kitchen. On a very small scale, it comes out, melts that, puts it in place, and then it solidifies, and that's how you're able to produce a wrench or a bolt. Or, you know, that's really what I'm looking forward to, is when I can print out a nut for a bolt that's exactly the right size, instead of having to go, you know, I only need one of these, and I don't want to drive all the way into town and get it from the
store. Or I don't want to have to order it special because it's not even a bolt. You know, say for instance, you lost the top to your water bottle, and it's a Swiss made water bottle, and you can't get one in town anymore.
Right. So those sorts of things that are kind of one offs or expensive for replacement purposes, that'll be the biggest use.
And that will be great for manufacturers like the bottle I'm talking about is the SIG Bottle Corporation. You know, they won't have to stock a whole bunch of these little lids because people lose them. They'll say, okay, you want one of those? No problem. $2. Here's the plan for it. You can print it out at home. Or what's really going to happen first is there's going to be 3D printing, locations, kiosks in the mall or like a Kinko's or you'll go to Walmart and there'll be 3D printers there. And you'll bring your plan in and you'll, or it'll be on your phone or in your email and you print it from there because you may not be able to afford the type of printer that they have, or maybe you want it made out of metal or you want it this color and you don't have it. That's what you're going to see first.
Part of the bigger news this week was that there's a university that's taking on the task of making all of this cheaper.
Yeah.
So they're right out from the start. They're not saying, okay, these things are going to be super expensive. No, you don't try this at home, folks. They're trying to get it all to the point where
and the market's going to do that anyway, but that's really when it's going to become valuable, just like Amos said, is when he can print out this nut for his lawnmower so that he doesn't have to get it. That's when people are going to, whether they want to or not, they're going to say, well, I need to get a 3D printer because I can do all these things that I wouldn't, I wasn't able to do before. And it winds up being cheaper or like the Audi thing. It not only is it just, I can do things that I'm already doing. I can completely customize my world. If I want a chair that I can sit in front of my TV that is instead of the average 18 inches high, I'm a tall guy. I want a 19 and a half inch chair. You just print it out. Or you have it printed out. You know, maybe that's too big to print out in your home 3D printer. Likely it will be. You'll be able to go to the factory in town or the 3D printer in town and say, well, this is the plan that I want. I've purchased the plan from this place online, and this is what I want, and these are the options that I want.
So then what happens when you purchase the plan online for something significant, something large, a house or whatever it is, a car maybe? What does this take file sharing to a whole new extreme? Sharing car here. Just here's my Audi plan. You go ahead and print the same thing.
Yeah, the manufacturers are going to have to. I think it's going to be twofold. First of all, they're going to have to compete with people who do these things for free, and there's going to be tons of them. My hobby might be tool smithing, and I might like to make 3D plans for chisels and hammers and whatever. And I'll just send them out online and people say, hey, you should tweak this. And it'll be like a community of people that will have these free plans. You'll be able to print those. But if you want maybe one from Stanley, a reputable tool manufacturer forever, you'd buy it from there. But I think what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to compete with free ones. And they're also going to have a DRM style, DRM, a digital rights management, in much the same way we see for audio files. That doesn't mean they won't be able to be broken, but
it'll be like design patents.
Sure, but people are going to be like, I don't want to waste the time for something that's $15 now. For something that's $1,500, it's a whole different deal. Or $15,000 or $150,000, like a vehicle. That might only be able to be sent to one location,
We need to take a quick break. Before we get there, though, I want to talk about a couple of streaming things coming up this weekend before I forget about it. Tomorrow morning, if you're a state track fan, SDPB is carrying the state track tournament from Sioux Falls here. It consolidates. It's in Lenox, Brandon, and Sioux Falls today, and we're out there taking pictures and providing live updates on the scores and everything. But tomorrow morning on SDPB2, we'll have the finals of the A, B, and AA Boys and Girls Track Tournament tomorrow live on TV and webcast. So if you're a state track fan or know somebody that is, or you got a grandson, granddaughter, son, daughter, and they're doing really well today and they're going to do well tomorrow, you'll catch them on TV and also the webcast. So please stop by our website for that, sdpb.org. That's a local thing. A non-local thing, Memorial Day concert Sunday night. I don't know if you're a fan of watching that on TV or not, but, man, what a family event that is. Outstanding program about the real meaning of Memorial Day, and they tell stories, and there's great music and other things.
South Dakota Public,
It is. Right. Yeah, it's on.
And they run it a couple
casting.
Times, don't they?
Yeah, they'll double pump it. Yep, yeah, they'll awesome. They'll run it live, and then they'll run it off tape or off hard drive or whatever they do now. Yeah, they double pump it, so it's on twice on Sunday night, 7 o'clock Central Time is the time for the National Memorial Day concert. I always try to mention that on my Facebook page and other things because it is such a fantastic production, and it's really important. And again, it's family friendly, and it's something that you definitely want to spread around and pass around to kids and things. So so a couple of live webcasts this weekend, state track tomorrow morning, and Memorial Day concert. If you can't watch it on a big TV in HD, catch it on the web on whatever device you've got. But the experience that I like is on the HD TV with the surround sound and everything. But anyway, your mileage may vary. Just wanted to pass those along to listeners. If you'd like a list of the links that we talk about on today's show, we post those to the web at facebook.com/techradio. Amos is over there in the Facebook world right now, kind of monitoring what's going on. We have some messages in there. We'll get to that right after the break. But facebook.com/techradio. Again, the 800 number, 1-800-524-3604. Is the number to call, and Midday, MIDDAY, is the email address. We'll be right back after this. And welcome back to Dakota Midday Tech Radio on SDPB Radio. I'm Kent Osborne. With me, Joel Brovelite and Amos Asap here in Sioux Falls at SDN. Thanks again, guys, for being here and talking today. Our Facebook page, facebook.com/techradio, has yielded a question from home viewer. And Amos, what do we have?
We love the home viewers on our radio show.
Yeah.
Yes. Willis says that he is looking into buying a laptop style tablet, a laptop computer that can act as a tablet.
Okay.
You see those all the time, the ones that have the removable keyboards, the ones that have the keyboards that twist and turn around and fold back into each other. Something that's very light and portable. The reason he is looking is that he needs something that can take a USB stick, an SD card, and can play and download music as well as play from CDs and DVDs. He's one of those that does not have internet at his house and needs something to play his discs since eventually the DVDs will become obsolete, apparently referring to something that we were talking about on the last episode. So his question is, which laptop/tablet does he get, or should he just go buy the new Xbox and play all of his movies on that and call that his single-use device?
Well, I got to hand it to him. He's got a very specific set of requirements there.
Yeah, I think I think we should dispel a couple of things. He says he wants a laptop because he wants it to take a USB stick or an SD card. But there are many tablets, not Apple's tablets, although if you get external devices, you can do this, that will take a USB stick and SD card. So I don't know that you have to have a laptop for those two reasons. He may want to have a laptop for another reason, but there are lots of tablets that take USB sticks and SD cards, right?
Yes, that's true.
Yep.
And in fact, the only thing I can see that he has in his message that would require going to a laptop, and there may be options for this too, but it's playing the discs.
The actual optical drive.
And there might be external devices that will do that as well, but then you kind of lose the functionality of being not tethered to whatever it is that that device is.
So. Well, I actually like his idea at the end of getting an Xbox or a set-top box of sorts because it will play DVDs ever increasingly. In fact, Xboxes are used more for online content that they are for game playing now. I just read a poll.
Really?
Yeah. So I like that option. It's a lot less expensive than a laptop.
Well, but for him, he says he is one of the few who doesn't have internet at home. So that whole online thing just kind of gone.
Not putting gas in it.
Getting into a piece of hardware that's moving away from what you're really looking for, as I agree, they're moving more and more on that.
So let's just assume he goes somewhere where he can access the internet. Then maybe a laptop is a good solution.
Yeah, because you're not going to bring your Xbox with you to the library.
No, and if you do, you might get in trouble.
the laptop tablets that he's looking for, the Microsoft Surface that you see the commercials where the kids are doing jumping jacks off of picnic tables and snapping the keyboard onto the tablet device, those will work. However, I'm not even sure if those have built-in DVD drives or CD drives.
No, they do not.
Can't possibly.
They
yeah, just they too small. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're really going to have to go with probably a full-blown laptop that might have the type of screen that spins and then folds flat. Or...
Although I would probably just go ahead and say get a tablet, you know, and then buy a DVD player for home so that you can use those discs. Yeah.
Exactly. Don't try to incorporate that.
Because you can get a Blu-ray player now for, you know, $40.
Yeah.
So don't spend so much money to get one device when, when two will.
And at this point, you're probably going to spend a lot of money trying to get all of those features in one device, since those features are becoming obsolete. And we all know that when things are new, they're expensive. When they're common, they're not. And then when they get old, they become really expensive. Speaking of, the Apple One I saw was up for sale. $400,000 they sold an Apple One for.
Pretty crazy. Wooden box and all.
And that was, the picture that I saw of it, and this might have been a stock photo, I'm not sure, actually was a really old monitor that was connected to just a circuit board, wasn't even in a box.
Okay.
That then was actually connected to a separate power supply. Mm-hmm. And it was quite
old. When you bought the Apple One originally, all you got was the circuit board. It was BYO everything. BYOE. You just had that. And as a matter of fact, didn't even come with an operating system, if you can imagine such a thing. You then had to either write your own or borrow one, or it basically had it didn't have an operating system, so to speak. So.
Huh. Well, did we get Willis taken care of?
I think so. I think Willis needs to we've decided that he just needs to go ahead and get a cheap DVD player to use at home to watch his movies and listen to his CDs.
Yep.
Even a Blu-ray player.
And then what about an Android tablet if he wants the SD and the USB stick? Is that going to work out?
I would just go to your local tablet peddler and find the one. Just say, hey, I got to have one that has USB and or a memory card reader, and that's my requirement. And then pick the best one for his budget and
absolutely
features.
And I happen to be a proponent of the Nexus, so that would be the direction I'd steer him, although it's not
necessary. Which is by Google.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Directly you can and those, they're relatively cheap.
Although, you know, having said this, if you really want the keyboard, the Google Chrome, which we talked about on the last show, might be a good option. Mm-hmm. Not a tablet, doesn't have a DVD player as far as I know, but it might serve many of the same
functions.
They're
thin and could possibly.
Certainly has the card readers that you're looking for.
Yes. Yep, absolutely. Anyway, back to Apple, as I wanted to take care of Willis before we got into this, but did you see or do you have any comments on Apple being in front of Congress recently? And
yeah, I do. I did.
Let's talk about that a little
see
bit.
Well, go ahead and if you want to talk about. Okay, Apple was in front of. I had to testify at Congress because not just Apple, but several companies have been using other countries, in this case Ireland, to basically, and I won't call it a dummy company because that's not exactly what it is, but as ways to avoid taxes. There are certain loopholes in the laws there and loopholes in the laws here that allow them to, basically Ireland says, well, you go ahead and pay those taxes in the United States because that's where we think you should pay them. The United States says, no, you should pay those in Ireland because that's where you incorporated in. So you don't pay those here. And Apple's like, well, I guess we won't pay them. That's essentially what happens. Now, what they testified as was that it was completely legal because it's completely legal. They did follow all the rules. I think what a lot of people would say, it's kind of shady. And it may be. I think Apple would be happy to pay all the taxes if everybody else who followed those rules did the same. And I'd be surprised if many of the higher-ups knew about the specifics, like we're dodging two things. I'm sure they just talked to their accountants, and the accountants are like, yeah, the rules set it up so that we can keep $9 billion and not pay taxes. And they're like, thumbs up, we like that. All companies, everywhere, I don't really care who you are, if you're a multinational company, for good or bad, are going to figure out ways to keep all of their money because that's why they do this. And at the same time, Tim Cook said, you know, you should, who's the CEO of Apple, you should do this, this, and this, and this Congress. It'd bring more jobs in, and we could bring our money back. We'd be happy to do that. Those are, of course, his opinions, but Do I wish they had paid that $9 million worth of taxes? Totally. Do I blame them? No, I wouldn't blame any company because they have shareholders they have to account for.
And basically, and the reason I brought it up is it seems like people were expecting Mr. Cook to come before Congress and be basically taken to the woodshed. And it kind of turned out to be a love fest, and everybody loves Apple. And I don't want to say it was a too big to tax kind of a
I don't think that's it. I mean, I think had they been actually doing something illegal, like they were actually like cooking the books, I think it'd been a whole different deal. But since they were actually following all the rules, it's just that the rules were broken, which happens a lot, unfortunately. You know, they said, well, why didn't you, you know, they didn't have a leg to stand on, really, the way I could see it. And I think that's the reason it went down the way it did. So I think things will change both in Ireland and the United States, because the people in Ireland are just as upset about it. The people that are upset are just as upset about it, because that's taxes they weren't collecting either. So, you know, things will change, and that will get better. It was good that it was brought out, and, you know, that little thing will change. Hopefully there won't be another loophole that is there.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Reminder to listeners again, if you like a list of the links that we talk about on today's show, we post those to the web and our Facebook page at facebook.com/techradio. Back at the sdpb.org site, though, we have a podcast available of this show and all of the Dakota Middays and Dakota Digests and all that. Sdpb.org, click on the listen link up there. You'll be whisked away to our beautiful radio website that has all this content on it. So we invite you to stop by there. Of course, we've mentioned State Track going on today and tomorrow. Please take a look at that. 1-800-524-3604 is the number to call today. And you can talk to Joel Borvelite, Amos Asop, and myself, of course, Ken Osborne, about anything you'd like to talk about today, be it 3D printers or Xboxes. And what's Amos, what have you heard about the Xbox One since we brought that up in an earlier conversation?
You know, I haven't been able to follow it too closely yet, mostly because I'm not, and this is where Jeff would be able to give us lots of information, but I'm not a huge gamer. I do own an Xbox 360, and I'm always looking forward to the technology that comes out and all of the new advances, and I'm still a geek at heart that way. But I'm hearing a lot of complaints about how there's some they've killed the used game market. Now you're not going to be able to play the used games on the Xbox, and I'm not familiar with the technology behind that, but somehow you won't be able to do the used games. There's going to be an always-on and always-connected requirement for this new Xbox One. And then as far as the hardware goes and the power behind it, the technology leap that, say, from the Xbox to the Xbox 360 just isn't there. That people are a little disappointed that there's a lot of shared RAM, that just some of the amazing specs people were hoping for just weren't there. And now people are saying, yeah, maybe we need to look towards the PlayStation 4 as being, you know, this awesome new invention.
Well, I think a lot of the gamers are complaining about those things, but those things are going after the market that the Xbox is really going after, and that's the home and consumer market where the money really is. The money is not in gaming, no matter what the gamers say. As a matter of fact, set-top boxes for gameplay only they're just on the way out, and they're not going to be around. Gaming is moving, by and large, it doesn't matter what analysts you check out, to mobile. Mobile is where gaming is going because it's getting better and better. The games that you can play on your iPhone are better than games you could play 5 years ago on the best PC. That's just where it's going. It's not the iPhone, it could be the Android, whatever it is. So these manufacturers, in Microsoft leading the charge on this one, are really trying to take that TV market, that home entertainment market, that you know, radio station, you know, all of your music at your fingertips, Pandora, all of that, and trying to package that to where consumers can use that in, you know, things like controlling lights and making sure your house gets locked. Those are the things that that the set-top manufacturers have to do in order to continually sell set-top boxes, because it's not going to increasingly be gaming.
And specifically on this one, the Kinect, which is the system that you use to play without a controller or using your body as a controller is going to be required on the Xbox One. And even when the system is in quote-unquote off, it's still on, and it's still watching, and it's still listening because it responds to voice prompts. So you can say, you know, turn on, and it will turn on and play a game. And then I also understand that it's not backwards compatible. You can't play any of the Xbox 360 games on the Xbox One, which, how long have we had the Xbox 360? It's been around for years and years and years, and we've, even I, who is not much of a gamer, have, you know, a little bit of a library built up, and now I'm either going to have to replace my Xbox 360 and lose it, or I'm going to have to move it to a different TV or find some way to, you know, expand upon all of my connections, yeah. and that just becomes a pain, so... there's a lot of real quirks to this new system that it's interesting. That
it's Microsoft hard for has. These manufacturers, doesn't matter whether it's Microsoft, Apple, or whoever, to make these things continuously backwards compatible. You know, if you want to make these big leaps, you know, he talks about the Kinect, which is a huge important part of this new input method that's becoming available, where he says you can turn on and the device will turn on. But it'll be more like, what was that? You might be making motions with your hands. And what was that? Who's the actor from the James Bond movies? And then I might, you know, pop up, you know, Pierce Brosnan and give you a bunch of choices. I can't believe I picked that one. Sean Connery.
There you
go. He said, oh, yeah, that's the one. And you're pointing. And the Kinect not only hears your voice, but sees your motion of your body, realizing that that is input it can use. And you point at it. As soon as you point at it, it selects it and says, I want all the movies that guy has been in. And then it does that. That is what you're going to see. Not, okay, I'm going to sit down and immerse myself in a online game, and I just need the fastest. You know, that the market is small for that. The market is huge for, can you turn on the lights in the backyard so I don't have to go back in the dark? Yeah. That's what the market's big for, not big for 3D games.
And anyone that's ever seen an episode of Person of Interest has to be scratching their head about the camera and microphone that is always on in your living room.
Yeah, well, a little creepy, but we're just
a lot creepy.
A little creepy.
Well, this is just a computer, mm-hmm. and it's made by Microsoft, which yeah. we know is notorious for not having top-tier security. And what happens when a zero day comes out and all of a sudden... Oh, look at this flaw. I can see every Microsoft Xbox camera, and I can listen into wherever it's at. Obviously, they'd patch that at some point, but, you know, there are obviously people who don't patch their things right away, and it'd be interesting.
You know, people said the same thing about GPS on phones. Well, I'm never going to want GPS on my phone. Now it's on everybody's phone right. because everybody loves it. Yep. That's the deal. That's when the thing goes over the cliff, is when it's so good that you don't care. And that's what it's going to be. It's going to be so good that you don't care. Hey, where's my kid? Oh, yeah. And then the Xbox or whatever that your device says, well, yeah, they're at the library, just like they said they were. Oh, okay, good, good, good.
Huh.
That's when you're going to say, I don't care that this thing's on. It's too valuable for me. It's I'd rather have this than the dog.
All right, well, on that note, we need to take another quick break. When we come back, we've got an email question from Richard in Rapid City on Windows 8, and we'll probably talk a little bit about Windows 8 when we come back after this. And welcome back to the third half of our show, Dakota Midday, for this lovely late in May day. Our next show, June 14th. Mark your calendars. We'll be on the air again to take you through an hour of tech talk and questions and comments and other things. Please join us then. 800-524-3604 is our number today. 800-524-3604. Midday at sdpb.org is the preferred way of most folks, and that's okay too. Richard in Rapid City chose to use that way of doing it, and he asks, what is your opinion on using a relatively cheap touchpad for Windows 8? And I think we've determined he's talking about a like an input device.
Well, yeah, it's kind of a broad label when you say touchpad. So we're assuming that it's you know, something like what you'd have on a laptop where you use your fingers to move the mouse around and you can click.
Relatively cheap touchpad for Windows 8 rather than an expensive touchscreen monitor.
Sure.
Do you think touchpads work okay for that?
I've not seen that done, so I'm not sure how well that would work. I would assume it would, since it's just an input manipulation device. You still have, you know, that kind of disconnect that uses your mouse, that takes it away from the actual screen and puts it in your hand, and how you would know on the touchpad where to touch in order to equate to that location on the screen, might take a little doing, but probably would work. I don't see why not, but I think you're losing the kind of the experience that Microsoft wanted you to have, which nobody is using anyway. It's the slowest adopting OS since Vista, and people are still hanging on to Windows XP. In fact, we were in here just before we got started. The machine that was in this room was upgraded last week to a brand new machine with a brand new operating system.
Yeah,
Windows 7, because Windows 8 just is not. You know, the new features that are in it are awesome for a tablet machine, and I think that's really where they're going, is trying to, you know, make a cross-platform. Everything's the same. It's tablet, it's phone, it's PC, it's whatever. But it just doesn't work out very well on the PC. I haven't had a good luck with it, and I will probably be staying away from it. But, you know, there are people who use it, who swear by it, who love it. And I suppose it's one of those things that if you just get used to doing it.
I haven't run across any of those yet. And in fact,
well, it's just like I said, it's really hard for these manufacturers to make things work with all the old stuff and come up with new innovations. It's really hard. Mm-hmm. And at some point, they either have to go all in or not. And I don't think Microsoft has decided yet.
And this is textbook Microsoft screwing up the next version. I mean, as fast as we had XP and things were awesome, and they brought out Vista with new features and new interfaces and new ways of doing stuff, and it was not adopted. And they sat and thought, what did we do wrong? They came out with 7 and did it right again. Oh, we better get another one out there. So they bring out 8, and they did it wrong again. So...
Well, they did it wrong for computers.
They did, yes.
And that's Myra
according to sales, they haven't done it right for
tablets
or phones.
I have only seen Microsoft phones on TV. I've never seen anybody in the wild. I'm not saying that they don't exist. I just haven't run it.
I've gotten a few calls from people saying, "Why doesn't your radio stream work on my Windows phone?"
Oh, okay.
And I have to go, let me get back to you on that. Because right now my MP3 stream, the way I've got everything set up on the website, works on, you know, iPhones, iPads, whatever. It works on Androids. It works on everything. It works on computers, but not Windows phones. And so I know there aren't some instances of people with AT&T that are getting the phones, probably a cheap deal through AT&T. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, there's some news on that as well, slipping in a little surcharge coming up on your phone bills. So we'll have to see how that all pans out, if people are going to vote with their wallets and move away from that. But anyway, not to get off the subject, but, you know, I can understand for tablets and phones and machine and for the all-in-ones where you actually touch the screen, mm-hmm. I can see having that really cool interface, but to not allow you to shut that off on a laptop or on a desktop machine that you can't touch the screen on is crazy to me, and it just drives me nuts.
And we shouldn't say you can't shut it off. You can kind of go back to the classic interface, and again, kind of.
But you got to pay for that, right?
No, you can get away from it. There's a couple of hacks out there that will actually bring back the start menu itself. But even without that, you can exit out of the screen that has all of the blocky apps on it.
Yeah, app tiles or whatever I call them.
Right.
Yeah.
And you can get out of that. It's not I've got a Windows 8 machine that I use in another area, and every time I sit down at it, I feel like I don't want to be here. I don't want this machine. I want to go back to Windows. I'd go back to Windows XP before I went to Windows 8. But, you know, part of it's probably attitude, and part of it's probably just being familiar with the interface.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right.
Have you seen the report from the Pew Internet and American Life Project that found that Facebook remains the leading social network among American teenagers, but they're beginning to hate it? Because it's becoming so mainstream and so many adults are getting on it, and there's so many, it's just no longer the the area where kids hang out.
To me, this is why Tumblr just sold for $1.1 billion to Yahoo. And everybody that I've talked to says, what's Tumblr?
Exactly.
And I said, that's why. Because you don't know what it is. And
so true.
And
Tumblr and Reddit.
Yes.
They're the Tumblr and Reddit are really the new... They're almost the new Facebook.
Yeah, because when Facebook started out,
it's not
it was college
exactly,
students.
It's not exactly social media. It's more like a kind of a cross between Instagram or pictures, blogging, and some social media.
Definitely social interaction, though, because of commenting and posting. And I agree. It's because the mainstream, you know, you don't hear the CBS Evening News talking about Tumblr and Reddit. Although I take that back. It's becoming more and more common, but not nearly the Facebook and the Twitter that you see today. Because even my grandmother is on Facebook, and she.
And I think that's why kids are trying to shun. It's like, well,
kind of lost its cool.
Yeah.
Although I don't, you know, I think of to kids though, Facebook is just like having a phone was when we were in high school. It's just like, well, you just have it. You might not like it. It might be cooler new things like cell phones or whatever it is, like they were for us. But you just have it. So I think that's when kids are brought up. You just have Facebook and Twitter. You just do.
And where does Instagram fit in there? I'm seeing that more and more often too.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I just looked at some charts that John T. Meyer sent me the other day, and Instagram just nosedives.
Really?
And it's,
well, I think that's a lot to do with Reddit and.
Tumblr,
and then
it's hard to remember.
Yeah, sorry. And then there's I can't remember. There's a photo app, or a picture app that is integrated with that. Name escapes me, but I mean Instagram is used. We should probably define what it is. It's a way to take pictures on whatever your device is. Generally, your smartphone, and you can do some simple editing things to it. You can, you know, change the color and whatever, and, you know, put a comment on it, and then it immediately can go to your social media without having to save it here and put it there and title it here. It just makes things easier. And it was purchased by Facebook. Instagram was.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like this summer.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. Instagram, Facebook. Yep.
So it's really
and that's when thing. And that's when it became uncool.
Mm-hmm.
That's true, but it you know, Facebook got that technology, and now it really is easier to add your photos to Facebook. You know, when my mother-in-law can do that, then you know that was a smart move.
It does surprise me though that sepia toning a photo has kept its relevance for as long as it has. It
seemed I think to people me a... just like to monkey with their stuff.
Yeah,
you know, if you go through all the stuff that you can do on Instagram, you're like, wow, would somebody do that for real? But people just love that stuff, you know?
Yeah, and it's a way of using Photoshop without buying Photoshop.
Well, totally, and that's a really great use too. I mean, frankly, why would you want to spend all that time when you just want to turn something to black and white and post it? You shouldn't have to do that, and luckily, you have ways to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're looking to post something with Instagram to Facebook, pop out to Facebook and join our page, facebook.com/techradio. I have posted a fantastic article. We talked about Netflix a couple of times in the last couple of shows because we were talking about the set-top box kind of revolution and how Netflix has really just been the juggernaut of bandwidth sucking things over, you know, for North America, you know, during primetime hours in the evening. And this article kind of highlights Netflix's boss and their philosophy of their company, which is kind of an interesting read, but also some more, you know, if you're into kind of those numbers and trends and things, it's a Business Week article. So it talks a little bit more about the business end of things, and I thought it was fascinating. So if you're one of those folks that would think that kind of an article is neat, pop out and grab that link off of our Facebook page. And if you're saying, I don't want to use Facebook, just, you know, put in Business Week and Netflix article, and it'll pop right up for you. But really good read there. And then if you're looking for something funny, I also posted an ad from AdAge.com, which is a insider magazine for ad professionals. They talk about Kmart's new big gas savings ads, and following up on their Ship My Pants ads. And if you haven't seen these and you would like a chuckle, you probably won't see many of these on TV. I don't know if you've seen the gas ones yet on TV. I don't know if they're going to air on TV, but they're out on YouTube, and they are a scream. And there's an interesting article there, but you don't have to read the article if you just want to watch the video. That's also posted to the Facebook page. And again, if you don't want to go to Facebook, just go to YouTube and type in big gas savings and Kmart, and you're gonna come across it right away.
Chris had posted a link and asked the question, what's up with a Roku, which I'm not sure if something's happened there or something's different. He did post a Facebook post or a page. It seems like everything's as it used to be, but Roku, we've talked about that as an alternative media streamer when we were looking at cutting the cable from satellite TV or cable TV, but just another device that allows you to stream media from various locations.
Yeah, it's just a little less than $100, sometimes less than $50 device that hooks up to your television and accesses the internet, and it's just a way to view data. They did just have an update a couple of days ago that added some more capabilities and apps, and one of the things our listeners will be happy to know is they've added PBS Kids to their lineup that you can access. So you can watch, if you've got kids and you want to watch, or you just want to watch Curious George like I do all the time. I am not making that up. I love Curious George. You can now do that on a Roku box for $50. Doesn't cost anything. Just have to have internet access. And also they have Hulu support on there now.
I also want to mention a link I posted to the Facebook page. It's a link to a PBS Media Shift created some ebooks, some affordable ebooks. They're one of the first two titles is Your Guide to Cutting the Cord to Cable TV. The other one is How to Self-Publish Your Book. But anyway, the link to that guide, again, very relevant for what we've been talking about on the show the last couple of episodes, is an ebook there that's sponsored in part by PBS. So if you would be interested in more on either of those topics, again, it seems like I'm,
Well, our Facebook is where we get our information, where we send out our information to our listeners. So if you're not on Facebook, hit up your spouse or your child, who probably is, if you want to go catch those links. The reason we use Facebook is it's easier for people. If you don't want to remember our address, all you have to do is do a quick search on Facebook and you'll find us. It's a great way to get out information.
That, and there are more people per capita that use Facebook in South Dakota than anywhere else.
So
why not? So again, to recap a couple of things that I mentioned earlier in the show, our next program is June 14th. That'll be a Friday. It'll be at noon Central Time.
Right, 4 days after the big announcement at the Apple Worldwide Developer Conference.
Super. We will, again, of course, provide updates on that. State Track, again, today and tomorrow online. Tomorrow morning, live feed starting at 9 a.m. Central Time, and also on SDPB2. If you've not watched SDPB2 before, it may be time to educate yourself on the Create and World channels that we offer. In addition to our main channel on SDPB, that would be a good time to do that. Watch a little track, and of course, I can't say enough good things about the National Memorial Day Concert Sunday night, 7 o'clock, on the web and on television in high-definition stereo. So please, if you'd like to, take an opportunity to watch or take part in those. I want to thank our panelists today, Joel Brovelite and Amos Aesop from SDN Communications. Thank you, guys, for joining me today. Reminder to listeners, if you joined us late, this show is on the website, sdpb.org, and click on the Listen tab there. Again, join us June 14th for our next show. Stay tuned to South Dakota Public Broadcasting. NPR News is next, followed by Talk of the Nation, Science Friday. Have a great holiday weekend, everyone.